Why are some people gaining weight? Because they have to heal. So if you're in constant fight or flight, you've been yo-yo dieting all your life, running 10 miles a day like I did, you will put yourself into a constant high cortisol state, which will hold on to weight.
You know, people trying that one stick of butter protocol, they're gaining weight.
Okay, the stick of butter thing is following me around like a bad penny. I used a stick of butter and a pound of meat for people to easily visualize an 80-20 ratio. It doesn't have to be a stick of butter.
I have 10 foods here.
Hit me. Chicken breast is low fat, but it has a higher omega-6 content.
Dr. Boz, 3-day sardine fast. What's your thoughts?
This interview with Dr. Elizabeth Bright might make you think twice about eating one stick of butter a day. Now, before we get into this episode, I just wanted to let you know the July Carnival Challenge is now open. So if you're new to Carnival or you've been doing Carnival for a while, and let's face it, when we live in our world, not many people are following this lifestyle. So if you need help with troubleshooting, side effects, or even just staying on track, we have a team of coaches that have lost over 200 pounds on a carnivore lifestyle. And especially what I thought was really important was to get on carnivore doctors. Because I know if you go see your local doctor, they're gonna talk about cancer, heart disease, gout, all related to eating meat. And that's why having expert carnivore doctors to help answer all of your medical questions is so important. Now, if you want to join the July Challenge, there is a link down in the description, or you can head to academy.5minutebody.com. If you love this interview with Dr. Elizabeth Bright, feel free to hit that subscribe button.
Dr. Bright, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Rena.
Well, so many people have started a high-fat carnivore diet because of the important work that you do, and many people are upping their fat, even trying the one stick of butter a day, but some people are gaining weight. So today, Dr. Bright and I are going to talk about the 10 tips for everyone out there to heal using the high fat protocol and also to help with weight loss. And this is for both men and for women. But the first question I have for you, Dr. Bright, is how did you start following a high fat carnivore lifestyle?
Okay, I was pretty much keto at the time at 52. I was going into menopause. And I was horrified by what the internet said about menopause. And I did my research. I decided to write a book because I was so horrified. And I realized that the high fat carnivore diet was the best diet for addressing what are supposed associated with symptoms that are associated with menopause, but are actually caused by low adrenal function. So that's how I started.
I wanted to talk about high fat carnivore. Who are the group of people that it's right for, the certain cohort? Is it right for everybody?
Okay, we want to be in ketosis in order to have optimum health. We can't be in ketosis if we're eating carbohydrates. So the other thing is that if you're eating mostly protein, mostly ribeyes, as a male, you can get away with that because there's a lot of fat in fatty meat. Women need more fat than men do. Our endocrine system needs more fat in order for us to have a healthy hormone levels. Cholesterol makes steroid hormones. So that's why women need more, I would say 80-20, but it doesn't have to always be 80-20. I would say the healing process requires 80-20. And then you could go down to 70-30 when your symptoms are resolved. Many women tell me that they go back to that when they have stress or when certain things are, you know, difficult in their lifestyle and they feel better eating the 80-20. It doesn't have to be the same every day. I'm not a numbers person. You get to a point where you are healed and then you'll have more, you know, if I have 8 clients in a day, I may run and get more butter on my jerky than a day when I'm not having 8 clients. So it differs, you know, it doesn't have to be the same every day. Men, I usually start with 70-30.
I love that you said that it doesn't have to be the same thing all the time and it differs every day because by genders, we differ by day to day. We differ with our stress
and our
levels.
Energy needs differ every day.
Absolutely. Lack of sleep, more stress, women that are menstruating, women that are going through their menopause, men that have erectile dysfunction, men that have prostate issues, man boobs, all these different things, different issues arise where you need to go high fat. But I understand that the umbrella under which all this occurs is happening in your endocrine system. So can you explain to those people watching out there, what is our wonderful endocrine system and what does it consist of?
Okay, so the endocrine system are, it's the glands that make hormones in our body, and the hormones are signaling agents that tell the body what to do. Basically, it makes physiology happen. It tells organs what to do, heart, how fast to beat, when to beat, etc. It does everything. All steroid hormones are made out of cholesterol, and all thyroid hormones, peptide hormones, are made out of protein. So there are no carbohydrates. No hormones are made out of carbohydrates. So they are not necessary for the endocrine system. The thing about the endocrine system, though, is that and many other sciences call thyroid the master gland. It directs every single other gland and production of hormone in the body. It regulates everything. In fetal gestation, it's the first gland formed before the neural tube. It is the first gland that when vertebrates moved from out of the water onto the land, they needed a thyroid because they couldn't take the iodine that was in the water with them. So the thyroid evolved that way. And it directs every other hormone function in the body.
So when it comes to these issues that we're experiencing, day-to-day symptoms, what are the warning signs that we have a problem with our endocrine system, the glands underneath, like adrenals? We spoke about thyroid. It could be ovaries. It could be your testes. These are all these different glands that sit under the endocrine system. What are the side effects that both men and women can see? There's something wrong and it needs to be addressed.
I would say everything. Everything. You know, really, because the thyroid directs everything. So erectile dysfunction, they're going to put it to low testosterone. But the thyroid hormone regulates how much testosterone is made out of the fat you eat. If you are under a lot of stress, you will be making cortisol, which is a steroid hormone, but not able to make perhaps as much testosterone. So you can either have a low-fat diet, you won't be able to make much testosterone, or you can have low thyroid function, you can't make much testosterone, or you don't have enough iodine, which is what thyroid hormone is made out of, which will also regulate how much testosterone you make.
So it could be things like feeling fatigue, itchiness, bad skin, eczema. It could be pain, arthritis, inflammation.
Skin, the skin is a very adrenal organ. The digestive system is, I would say, the intestines. So the tissues seemingly more sensitive to adrenal dysfunction are skin and digestion. Because if you're in a fight or flight state, you won't be able to digest. Your skin is very sensitive to psoriasis, eczema. That's more adrenal. Sympathetic nervous system, depression, things like that are also very adrenal. But again, depression, bipolar illness, schizophrenia, these are all things related to low thyroid function. So you kind of go, the heart is told how to beat by adrenergic stimulation, which are neurotransmitters that come from the adrenals, but thyroid hormone tells them the rhythm to tell the heart how fast to beat.
And when we take pills and potions and all these different things that the Western doctors kind of tell us, that's why it doesn't work, because you're not fixing the root cause of the problem. How many people do you see have thyroid or adrenal issues?
Almost everyone.
Almost everyone has these issues. So most likely, if you're watching this, and most likely if you have a weight problem, if you're coming to Carnivore because you want to heal, you most likely have to address an underlying issue, which is exactly what we're going to talk about with these 10 tips. And this is where, because I really wanted to make it clear in terms of, you know, people trying that one stick of butter protocol, they're gaining weight. And then you have these other bigger influencers saying you don't have to eat one stick of butter a day. You know, you can just eat fatty meat and that's okay. Do you think in your experience that the one stick of butter a day is essential for people to heal and to eventually lose weight?
Okay, the stick of butter thing is following me around like a bad penny. I used a stick of butter and a pound of meat as a way to visualize, for people to easily visualize, an 80-20 ratio. It doesn't have to be a stick of butter. It could be tallow. I would prefer beef tallow or lamb tallow, mutton fat, ruminant, because that is the least inflammatory. Why are some people gaining weight? Because they have to heal. You cannot, if you are in a state of fight or flight, your body will hold on to weight because it thinks that it's holding on to calories for you to run away from danger. So if you're in constant fight or flight, you've been yo-yo dieting all your life, running 10 miles a day like I did when I was in my 20s, you will put yourself into a constant high cortisol state, which will hold on to weight. Inflammation causes the same issue. Trauma and stress cause the same fight or flight response. Your body doesn't know if it's a tiger. Abuse, malnutrition, you taking your phone to bed, all of these things causing a dopamine, you know, too much dopamine signaling, all these things can cause hyperstimulation and put you in a fight or flight state. Your body will not lose weight in a fight or flight state because it thinks you need those extra, that tissue, which can be burnt for energy. So I would say that a high fat carnivore diet works because it's anti-inflammatory. It lowers cortisol. It takes you from that hypersympathetic state into a parasympathetic state, so you're no longer in fight or flight. So that's why I use it. Doesn't have to be a stick of butter. It could be 4 ounces of beef tallow.
So maybe people should stop talking about the one stick of butter and start talking about overall increasing your fat intake to the 80-20. I think it's haunting you a bit.
That's a lot of words.
But it's haunting you a bit, right?
Well, so only because butter. So I live in Italy. I get great butter. I can't get carnivore bars. I can beg and plead a butcher to give me a hunk of, I don't want suet because I use suet for making tallow creams for my skin, right? But I don't like to eat suet. So I will get beef ribs and make my version of carnivore bars because they have a ton of fat on them. But butter is my go-to. I don't have any issues with butter, but people who have incredibly inflammatory or in an incredibly inflammatory state may be sensitive to the tiny amount of milk protein in butter. So if a person tells me they're feeling more inflammation, because usually they feel less inflammation with the butter, I say try tallow for 2 weeks and see if that does it. Because it may be that tiny amount or ghee of milk protein, because our immune system is going to react to proteins, right? It's looking for viruses and bacteria, which are made out of protein. So that tiny amount, that person may be hypersensitive to. They won't be forever until they're fixed, but in the beginning, they may be.
It could be quit butter and start eating these fats instead. So The one stick of butter aside, so the fat is quite important, increasing the fat. The next question I have is about protein. You're talking about 1 pound of meat, roughly, for an average person. Varies with height. We hear a lot about 1 gram of protein per pound of lean body mass to increase leucine and also to elevate mTOR. What do you think about that, the importance of protein, and is what you're recommending safe? I think that's what's on people's mind. That sounds a bit low in terms of just 1 pound of meat a day.
Okay, so it's a temporary protocol, right? When I give this and in my book, I say that it's you do that for a month, and then you readjust and then you see what else you need. Usually people who are able to reduce inflammation and are in deeper ketosis, which is the anti-inflammatory state we want to be in. And if they can increase the protein and still stay in ketosis, dependent upon what we're trying to fix. If a person's bipolar, they're going to need to stay high fat for a while until their brain metabolism improves. If a person doesn't have those issues, they won't have to be as deep in ketosis and they can add more protein. We need protein, obviously we need protein, but we know that we can do what we need to do with the protein with a gram or 1.2 grams a day. I built 3 kilo of muscle eating 76:24 ratio in a month. When I started lifting weights at the gym, I was just doing paddleboarding before. So you can definitely build protein on that kind of a ratio. I mean, build muscle, sorry, on that kind of a ratio.
So when Dr. Bright is saying 76:24, that's 76% of calories coming from fat, 24% of calories coming Correct. From protein, macros. Correct. So the amount of protein and fat in the protein that you weigh on the scale doesn't equal to the protein that you're actually ingesting. You have to kind of go on an app like MyFitnessPal or Carb Manager and have a peek at what the protein is. But a lot of people, they do well, especially for that shorter term, as you said, How long is that average period that you'd say that if you're intensively healing?
I would say a month. The endocrine system works on a month, both male and female, a month. I mean, I don't measure anymore, but I'm 80, 20, 76, 24. You know, I just measured the 20, 76, 24 because all of a sudden I had all this muscle mass. And everybody's like, oh, you can't build muscle mass if you're not, you know, if you're eating high fat. And I said, no, I'll check for this week. And there I was. So, you know, as I said, it varies. It's dependent upon what you're trying to fix, what you're trying to heal.
Every person is so different. Every person has a different underlying metabolic condition. It can be 4 weeks. It can be 6 weeks, 6 months, 12 months. Mm-hmm. And that goes on to the next tip, which is understand how you feel. Because I've heard you say that 80-20 is very important as a starting point, but you will teach your clients to titrate up or down, meaning yes, move the fat protein macros up and down, depending on how you're feeling. Can you elaborate more about that?
Well, I'm looking for inflammation so to reduce. So how you're feeling, if your joints don't hurt anymore, if you wake up with more energy, if you're able to sleep better, all of these things are, people come to me with, you know, I have a questionnaire and I ask them what's going on. What are the presenting issues? And these presenting issues have to be addressed. If there may be, you know, people often forget that how well they feel and they, oh, I didn't lose 20 pounds like I wanted to, but I feel fantastic. I don't no longer have psychotic attacks. My GFR went up. My kidneys are functioning better. You know, you have to be able to hear, feel how you have improved. It's very important. People do. They do. They know. I mean, I sometimes have to say, you wrote this, this is gone. And they'll be like, oh yeah, I don't remember that I even had that.
Now, if you're one of my new carnivores on this lifestyle, or you've been trying carnivore for a while, but you have certain side effects. I was chatting to Dr. Bright about this earlier on. This could be due to an electrolyte deficiency. Now, if this sounds like you, maybe you have some headaches, you just feel tired, you can't sleep, maybe you have some nausea or some cramping. What you can do is to increase the fat into your diet. You can also try salting your water or salting your meals. If this doesn't work, I would highly recommend using an electrolyte supplement. The one that I absolutely love is Element. And the reason for that is because Element contains the right amount of sodium, potassium and magnesium. And this is so important because it also doesn't contain any sugars, no preservatives and nothing nasty. Especially if you're sensitive or new, they have the unflavored raw option, which I would highly recommend. And I use this every single morning in my fatty latte. I'll use half a sachet in my coffee and then sprinkle it in my water during the day. And my partner, he can tolerate stevia and the chocolate version. He loves the chocolate version. So he'll have that into his fatty latte. So if you want to try Element, you can also get this free sample pack on every order. So you're going to get 8 different flavors of Element to try for free. So if you want this, all you have to do is just go to drinkelement.com/5-minute-body. That's drinkelement.com/5-minute-body to get this sample pack. And thank you for Element for sponsoring this video. Let's just get back to Dr. Elizabeth Bright.
And if some people, they want to lose, let's just say the 20 pounds and they haven't lost it, what do you say to them?
Usually it's a cortisol issue by that time. So I will definitely ask for salivary cortisol test and see if they have cortisol issues. I will address lifestyle changes. Don't take your phone to bed. Turn off the lights at 9. Stop doing marathons, you know, things like that, that are important. I had this wonderful, wonderful experience of speaking with someone today who listens to, has a very, very busy, very demanding lifestyle. And she listens to a piece of a piano at night and all night. It's the same short riff that keeps going and it helps her sleep. And now she has internalized it. So when it's very stressful at work, she just hears that in her brain and it switches her from a hypersympathetic state into a parasympathetic state. And that lowers her stress.
So how does cortisol and stress hold on to fat?
Because you're in a fight or flight state. So we burn, your liver is burning, your liver is making sugar in order for you to send energy to your muscles to run. The last thing it's doing is digesting.
When you talk about stress and eating fat, because a lot of people say, oh my gosh, butter you know, a stick of butter has 810 calories. That's a lot of calories. And then plus you're eating that meat as well. In the context of healing and weight loss, do you think what matters, the hormones, the healing, calories, which one is it, or is it both?
Calories don't matter. Calories don't matter. But I mean, most people need to eat to satiety. Hormones definitely matter. You cannot lose weight. So when I'm talking about stress, I'm also talking about inflammation. If you have inflammation, inflammation could be caused by something like hair dye, which is full of xenoestrogens, skin creams. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be only marathon running and going to bed with your phone.
I think I wanted to make that distinction because a lot of people focus on the foods, which we're going to get to a game talking about foods just in a second. But a lot of people talk about, you know, what diet, what foods, what exercise, but the importance of focusing on the lifestyle component, which is the stress, the cortisol is equally as important. If your body's in fight or flight, it doesn't want to get rid of fat. It wants to hold on to fat.
Well, that's a really important part of it. And we have to look at, you want to talk about exercise? When you're in fight or flight, you should not exercise. You should, I mean, I recommend weight training and not cardio. So I had a terrible experience myself by doing too much cardio. I sort of maxed out my adrenals. And what you're doing is you're not hurting your adrenal tissue. You're just, your body will not allow you to be in a chronic high cortisol state because it's inflammatory. It burns neurons and pulverizes bones. So your brain, your pituitary gland, will no longer produce ACTH to tell your adrenals to make cortisol. So you end up with low cortisol. So high eventually becomes low. So cardio, people who have horrible reactions to, you have to remove stimulants in that state because stimulants are kicking your adrenals in the butt, making them produce adrenaline, because any kind of stimulant, caffeine will force, or exercising, cardio, you'll feel sick. You will, won't recover from the exercise well because you're kicking your adrenals, forcing them to make cortisol.
And I love a quote that you said that if you exercise, anytime that you're doing intense exercise for 15 minutes or longer, it's stressful. And it's like you're chasing a bear or something.
You're being chased by a bear.
Oh, your cortisol, sorry.
Cortisol levels are, they've, studies shows that if your cardio is high for more than 15 minutes, your heart rate is high for more than 15 minutes, you will go into, your body will start producing cortisol. So the trick is to keep it under that. That's why I like weight training, because you're pausing, you're doing reps, you stop a minute, you know, you're not in this, I don't like high intensity interval training for that reason, because it's constantly keeping your heart rate up.
So the whole point of it is to calm our hormones down for men and also for women. So pertaining to exercise, do you like the long walks?
Long walks are wonderful. Smell flowers, hear birds, long walks, you're engaged in nature, you're in a parasympathetic state because you're not on a treadmill looking at a machine telling you go faster, go faster, go faster. The whole heart rate cardio comes from calories, calories in, calories out. It doesn't work. It's not true. Hormones matter. Hormones decide everything.
What about non-structured exercise like paddleboarding, which I know that you love? Yes. Just getting out in the yard and like doing some yard work, doing, you know, full body yes. movements. That's yes. great for hormones, right?
Yes, yes, yes. So exercise to me is, I mean, as a Kung Fu master who used to do a lot of a Kung Fu form for my discipline was about 1.5 minutes, 2 minutes long, where you just went out, boom, everything into it, going up and down on your knees, jumping up, kicking, things like that. So that didn't hurt me. What hurt me was fighting, sparring. Sparring hurt me because I was in a fight or flight state by fighting somebody bigger than me. So that is what nicks my adrenals. It wasn't the 1.5 minute of a cardio. Definitely my heart was beating, but it's 1.5 minute. That wasn't the issue. Paddleboarding, and as I said, I used to be a runner. I was running 10 miles a day in my 20s. And I realized after, when I stopped that, that it was much nicer to my children when I ran, because I was addicted to adrenaline. When I didn't run, I was grumpy. So now paddleboarding is sort of a combination. It's a full body exercise. I'm trying not to use too much cardio, but I'm using a lot of muscle too. The issue, it becomes cardio when there are big waves and I have to stay on the board and not fall off because, or there's strong wind and I have to go against it. So it's sort of a combination. But if I do hard days back to back, I won't feel as well.
So interesting that you're so in tune with your body. And that's the thing, that when you go a carnivore or high fat carnivore, you get very in tune with like, yes, this is stressing me out. This is making me feel like crap. Oh, I didn't sleep last night. This is the reason why. You're so in tune. And actually, I had a question that when you're doing the paddle boarding and you're like, oh, there's a big wave, does it stress you out thinking, oh my God, this is going to freak out my adrenals?
Yeah, a little bit. I was testing my heart rate for a while, but it's fine. I'm able to, my heart rate gets quite high while I'm doing that, but it hasn't had any effect. I think that being on the water for me is so relaxing that if I was doing the same exercise on a treadmill, it would not be the same.
Getting outside and the sunlight is so nourishing for ourselves, for our body, the light therapy, all of it. So it's just like those basic practical things that's going to heal. And then you're also going to lose weight. I know that Dr. Bright doesn't like to talk about weight loss, but her protocol, if done right, it's going to get you to that weight loss. But it's the patience. Yeah. It's following the protocol, using the steps that we're talking about. And it's understanding the intuitive feeling. You don't have to follow something like 80-20 all the time. You don't have to do 70-30 all the time. But now we're going to talk about certain foods, because I'm sure that you guys are thinking, what foods should I eat? What does Dr. Bright eat? I have 10 foods here. Mm-hmm. I think that some Dr. Bright will love. I think some Dr. Bright will not like, but we're going to get her opinion. But most importantly, why? So that people can really understand, if this is a food, how they can decide if this is right or this is wrong or what's best for them. So are you ready for the first one?
I'm ready. Hit me. Chicken breast is low fat. I mean, chickens are carnivores and they're supposed to eat worms and bugs. Hard to find chickens that eat worms and bugs. So there's a higher omega-6 content in chicken. After you are doing better and you have less inflammation and you can handle chicken, I rather you have the leg or the thigh because it has higher fat. Other than that, yes, it's a carnivore food, but it has a higher omega-6 content and some people may react.
So that's what I was going to ask about, the higher omega-6 content. Do you think that we should be scared about omega-6s, high, like foods that are high in omega-6s, and just think about, oh, I need to do these perfect, like pasture-raised ground or grass-fed meat? Is that the priority, or is sticking with carnivore the priority? Because some people, they either have to choose between plain old chicken or the high quality ingredients. What is best? What is best?
I don't think you should be afraid of anything, number one. So we do the best we can. Somebody who has an autoimmune issue may be more susceptible to the omega-6. Somebody who doesn't won't be. I have patients who react to chicken and not pork. Pork is also not supposed to be fed grain. So you're going to increase the omega-6 in the pork. I think that once you're healed, or in a healing state, you won't be as reactive. You won't be as sensitive to the less than optimum foods. Chicken doesn't have any iron, doesn't have enough iron. We know that ruminant meat, beef and lamb, goat are going to have more iron. Fish doesn't have any iron. So I think that ruminant meat should always be the backbone of our diet, just so we can have enough iron. We can definitely eat these other carnivore foods unless we're highly inflamed. And then we get to the point where we can eat these other carnivore foods.
Good explanation. This food I love. Hopefully you love it too.
I do, but I can't get it wild. Anything farm raised. I mean, I don't know if you've been, my son lives in Athens, and if you go to around these big tubs, you know, sort of in circular farming areas of bream or sea bass, right? And we know we don't have salmon here, right? So it's all farm raised. They don't eat very good food. They don't eat what fish are supposed to eat. They are in a fake environment. In the U.S., you can get wild salmon. I think that would be better than, it's easier for people maybe to get ruminant meat, doesn't have to be grass-fed, than wild salmon. That's my only problem. Salmon is not fatty. There's a part of the salmon that is fatty, but that's not the piece. The dark meat, that's usually not the piece we get. So it's a good food when you're healed. Absolutely.
I thought that you'd love it. Well, I'm going to try for my wild caught salmon. I do like salmon, but I usually stick with.
Yeah. Okay. So ground beef is pre-digested. It's okay. But When they cut it, unless you're grinding it yourself, like my husband sometimes does, the blades of the grinder will heat the meat. That will increase the histamine content, but it will also make it lose water soluble nutrients. So if you're healing, it's better to stick with steaks. Afterwards, it's absolutely fine.
I'm hoping this next one is a winner.
I'm hard to please, Rena. We're talking about healing. Yes, I love ribeye. And mine is Irish because Italian ribeye is not very good. Yes, love that one. I use a lot of beef ribs too for my snacks.
Okay. Why is ribeye such a great healing food? Healing and then weight loss. Why do you think it's such a great healing food?
Because it has a lot of fat. It's one of the fattier cuts.
Okay. Is there anything that you would say about quality of a ribeye?
Well, we were getting, so I don't like Italian meat because it's very lean. We were getting Scottish beef, all UK beef, and Australia and New Zealand is natural. They eat grass, right? So they're treated very well. Brexit happened. We could no longer get Scottish beef. Ireland is a part of, you know, Europe. So we're now able to get Irish. But until we got that, we got German. And the German beef had so much, was injected with so much water. I hope I don't get in trouble here, but that the pan that, you know, the container, because I would get 16 kilos, cut them and cryovac them and stick them in the freezer, would just be full of blood because all this water was coming out. Now with the Irish, absolutely no blood because they're not injected with water to make the meat heavier.
Oh, okay.
It costs more.
Oh, see, that's why I'm trying to ask. That's why I'm showing these foods, because a lot of people are going to say, well, I can't afford a ribeye. I can't afford this. So talking about affordable, budget-friendly, good quality foods, I mean, does it exist?
Beef ribs. Okay, so my only issue with beef ribs, I make all my carnivore bars and, or I can't say carnivore bars, my tallow bars and beef cookies out of ribs. It's laborious, but it gives me a ton of tallow and I can do a lot of stuff with the meat. Beef ribs are very inexpensive, relatively speaking, right? And they're Italian. I don't have any problem with them. We spend less money carnivore than we ever did when we were eating vegetables and other foods. So we've actually checked this out. We've compared what we spent of pre-carnivore to carnivore when I was 52, 54, and now. So the cost of meat has gone up, but you also have to understand that when you are functioning better and healing, you're spending less money and you're making more money because you're feeling better. So it's a period of time where you have to focus on healing. And then, I mean, Ken Berry has talked about, yes, I think that you can be carnivore and eat sardines and hot dogs. Absolutely. It depends on what you're trying to fix, but you can be low budget carnivore. You don't have to eat ribeye. You can eat hot dogs and butter and sardines.
Well, how funny. This one was my next one.
Sardines?
Yeah. So what do you think about Dr. Boz, 3-day sardine fast? What's your thoughts?
Meh. Sardines are great. I live in the area of, I mean, Liguria, we would get fresh sardines, fresh. I prefer anchovies personally. You have to be careful about the what they're packed in, because now there are loopholes. You can say it says it's in olive oil, but it's actually 5% olive oil and 95% safflower oil, unfortunately. I don't worry about calcium, so I don't think that the bones that I'm eating with the anchovies or the sardines are that necessary for my health. Omega-3s are a buzzword now. I get adequate omega-3 from the fat of my meat. So I don't think that's something you have to eat to be healthy. I think one of the great French snacks is anchovies with butter. So, you know, on little toasts, just don't eat the toast.
That was my thing going to Venice. There's a thing called cicchetti. So I just had the stuff on top, ditch the bread. All right. What do you think about this one?
Raw, the whole raw thing. Okay, so when you pasteurize milk, you're killing enzymes, right? You're taking away the probiotic content of the milk that is supposed to make you be able to digest the milk better. You're not changing the macronutrient content. You're not changing the lactose, the milk protein, or the fat content. That doesn't change. So My concern, my issue is I'm using macronutrients to heal people. I'm not using enzymes and probiotics because a carnivore gut doesn't need the probiotics that the vegetable eating gut needs. I don't see any benefit.
Neither do I. And I'm so glad that you said that. This one, I know you love.
I love that one. Yeah.
These are the questions that I get. Salted, not salted. What type of butter?
Okay. I eat Babino Celli, which is not salted. You can even see the color change from season to season. They have a different packaging paper around it when it's the cows are eating in the summer and the cows are eating in the fall. So I will never eat salted butter, but a person can. You need salt on a carnivore diet, so I don't see any problem with it. It's just my personal taste.
I like salted butter. Then I move to the non-salted butter and I add my Redmond's Real Salt on top. And boy, does that taste like heaven, like cheese on steroids. So much fun. This one is also so much fun, but I've had to back away.
I can't get bacon. I mean, I can get pancetta and I can, but American bacon has a particular taste. It's completely different. I can get it when I go see my son in Athens or when I go see my daughter in Scotland, but in Italy, no, they won't even slice it. In the North, they sliced it for us. Pancetta, right? But now in the South, they say, oh, the little bit of cartilage is going to break the slicer. So we gave up. We don't need it anymore. My husband loves pork. He likes to get the capocollo, which is a fatty cut. Although I don't eat much pork. My husband likes chicken. He roasts chicken. He eats it. I might have a bite. I'm pretty much a beef gal. I love lamb. When I'm in Scotland, I eat a ton of lamb. Can't get good lamb here. So bacon's fine. It's fine. It's processed. You have to see if you can handle what agents it was processed with if you have inflammation. That's all.
Okay, good.
Oh, okay. I walk around here and, you know, it's such a big, best fruit and veg grocer on the corner where I live. And I never get anything there. It's not necessary, obviously. It's carbohydrates. We don't need the flavonoids and the blueberries and the red things. All that is a bunch of crap. I think that you can absolutely, if you do well with heavy cream, with the milk protein content in heavy cream, and you want to add some berries to it in the summer, and everything else is working fine, it's okay. But I also just told somebody today that they need to lay off of the dairy because their inflammation increased. So it really depends where you're at. It's not the handful of berries that you're going to eat is not going to throw you out of ketosis. There are no anti-nutrients in fruit. I would say that durian, tropical fruits have so much mango, papaya, have so much more sugar than berries and apples. I think you're safer with berries and apples. If you don't have a neurological disorder like Parkinson's where you need to measure your ketones, I would say even if you do, a handful of berries is not going to throw you out of ketosis. Vegetables have anti-nutrients. Fruits don't have anti-nutrients. They just have sugar.
I'm so glad that you clarified that because some people say no fruit. Some people say, oh yes, have some fruit. So really depends on your metabolic flexibility and where you're at in your healing and weight loss journey. This is my favorite. Oh, every morning.
Okay. But okay, all right. Absolutely. I mean, I drink decaf every morning with a ton of butter. So the fatty latte is water with the butter?
No, it's butter with coffee.
Okay. Fatty latte. Okay. Yes. Absolutely. I drink it every single day, sometimes twice a day. So I have one in the morning. If I go paddleboarding, I'll have another one when I get back.
And you mentioned decaf. So should we not be having caffeine?
I recommend avoiding stimulants because you're kicking your adrenals whenever you're having the 0.0001 amount of caffeine in decaf in the morning is not going to cause an inflammatory response.
Okay. Well, that was the 10 foods, but we still have 5 more tips to get through. Now, you recommend, I don't know if we spoke about this, starting slow and spreading out your meals during the day. So especially when you're starting out a high fat kind of a lifestyle, you know, a lot of people will do one or two big meals, but then they're going to get some side effects. Why do you recommend snacking through the day, 3, 4, even 5 meals? Why is that so appropriate for people?
For healing, because of the adrenal. So the whole world at 11 o'clock is at the coffee machine, in a pastry shop, in a coffee shop, smoking a cigarette on the corner at 11 o'clock. The whole world is doing the exact same thing at 3 p.m. all over the world and wherever their time zone is. So they had carbohydrates for breakfast. They're crashing at 11. They need a bump. They have lunch. They're crashing in the afternoon. They need a bump. In order to balance your blood sugar, moving from somebody who's eating carbs, perhaps, or a high stress situation or an inflammatory situation, they need to balance their blood sugar, stop the adrenaline to kick by kicking in, you know, stop the adrenaline from kicking in. And they do that with small amounts of fat at these times of the day. That will give them the energy they need not to go into a sympathetic stress state.
You don't recommend fasting.
So I'm the anti-faster.
I know you're the anti-faster. That's why I have this question, which is because you see people doing the 2 MADs, the 1 MAD, and it's like, oh, please don't do it. Do you think it differs for men and women? Can men do OMADs?
Well, it depends on what they're trying to fix. So usually people come to me with issues, with health issues. They're not coming to me with no health issues. I mean, basically, if I'm having butter in my coffee, my decaf, and lunch and dinner, I'm eating 2 MAD, aren't I? Because the fat in the morning is, according to medicine, if you're not eating carbohydrates, you're not eating, you're fasting. So we know it's not fasting because we're getting energy from the butter. But medically speaking, you're fasting. But I'm going to snack when I'm working all day, going back and forth, because I'm going to go get a piece of butter and put it on a piece of jerky so I can get through another hour of thinking a lot about what's going on with the person in front of me. Yes, I guess, possibly, but I would never recommend one meal a day, because the stress that you have, we can't avoid stress. People have to work. We have families. Anytime you're setting yourself up to go into adrenaline if you're eating one meal a day.
And I think people know when they're fasting too much, you'll have those feelings of tension, anxiety, irritability is a big one.
Angry.
Lack of sleep.
Angry.
Pissed off. Angry. This is not like, oh, because somebody has pissed me off. It's because you're not nourishing your body so that you can't respond in a calm way.
It's all about blood sugar. So violence is a blood sugar issue.
I think that Dr. Joan Iflan spoke about that around food addiction. And she was saying that she grew up in a traumatic household. So she learned that, oh, she has to take out the sugar and the processed foods. Once she did that, she found that she wasn't raging in front of her children anymore. So that's going to come out on my YouTube channel, I think this week, actually. So I'll link it down below. But it's so interesting how the sugar, the processed food, and all this rubbish that we're eating, it affects our mental health, depression, anxiety, how you treat your family and your husband or your spouse and all the rest of it. The food, your hormones, it interrelates all of it.
Yeah, I don't really believe in addiction, because to me, addiction is an energy deficiency. So you're craving something, you need something. It's usually a stimulant, and sugar is a stimulant. If you're able to make energy naturally, properly, you won't have any addictions. The little girl who has chocolates or candies in her pillowcase and grows up to have substance abuse issues is because she was unable to metabolize energy properly.
So do you think there's any such thing as sugar addiction?
Energy. It's an energy deficiency. You're unable to make energy properly. So you need sugar, because sugar is just metabolized on your tongue with amylase. Saliva, boom, it's broken down. If you can't properly metabolize, and it's more complicated, fat and or unable to break down fat and protein into fatty acids, but you need energy for your brain, you will be looking for carbs. So anybody who has a hormonal dysfunction, thyroid or adrenal, will need stimulants. Sugar is the easiest the most accessible stimulant around.
Okay, the importance of iodine. Can you explain why is iodine so important, and what foods can we get it from?
Okay, no foods. It's impossible nowadays. So a can of sardines has 35 micrograms of iodine. Okay. The thyroid needs daily 6 milligrams of iodine. Breast tissue needs daily 5 milligrams of iodine, the ovaries and the uterus and the male, the prostate, all tissue, all mucus producing tissue, that means vaginal, intestinal, sinus, respiratory, all need iodine. We cannot get it anymore. Our environment is so polluted with forever chemicals, PFAS, PFAAs, phthalates, halides, fluoride, chloride, et cetera. They interfere with the absorption of iodine. We can't get it. We all must supplement with Lugol's iodine, which is was invented in 1829 by Jean Lugol, and it is the perfect solution for us to supplement with. I think that in the 80s, there was less pollution, but now we know that there's bromide in car seats and baby seats in our couch, fire retardants. So it's very difficult to find it in food sources. It used to be a goiter belt issue. Michigan, Tennessee, where my family's from, Switzerland, people were born with iodine deficiencies because the land, the soil was deficient. For mountainous areas, the iodine has moved out of the soil when the glaciers melted, moved out of the soil, and the animals eating the soil, the grass, did not get iodine. That's not every single, I can't think of anywhere that you can get grass that is sufficient in iodine, or the seas, they're polluted.
So everybody should supplement with iodine, men and women.
And most importantly, adolescents, because adolescents need 40% more iodine and 40% more thyroid hormone because they're starting to build sexual characteristics, both male and female. So where are they getting it from? So the thyroid will take as much as it can because the thyroid builds sexual characteristics. Thyroid hormone, it regulates the building of sexual characteristics. And if they don't have iodine, they won't be able to have the iodine from which the thyroid hormone is made.
What you just touched on now, which is adolescence, talking about high fat for teens or even 20s. What's your perspective on that?
Well, along with the iodine and the thyroid hormone, you need steroid hormones. Cortisol levels peak at 3 months old, and then they rise precipitously again during adolescence because estrogen is being produced, testosterone is being produced, and those hormones raise cortisol levels naturally. In a natural way, okay? Now, if you don't have enough fat in your diet, I ate no fat when I was 15. I fasted, 500 calorie diets for like 5 months, crazy things like that. So right at the time when a young person, an adolescent needs to make testosterone and estrogen and have enough fat, cholesterol to make these cortisol levels possible, also to address stress, of course, they're not eating it. And that has huge repercussions on mental health.
Okay, which leads to depression, anxiety, ADHD,
absolutely,
bipolar.
And boom, antidepressants are prescribed.
I know it's a very tricky topic. That's what we spoke about at KetoCon. I know that's your passion, which is talking about, high fat, even, I don't want to say children, but young adults, high fat is so important. And I think that the fat deficiency in our life, it causes all of these problems that we have in our life. But Dr. Bright, I want to say thank you so much for this encyclopedia about healing, which is going to lead to your fat loss using a high fat carnivore diet. And I'm hoping that drilling down into the specifics is going to help people on their weight loss journey and their healing journey to follow the high fat protocol the right way. So thank you, Dr. Bright, and I'm sure that we're going to see you very soon. I hope you enjoyed the interview with Dr. Elizabeth Bright. Now, if you need more information about a high-fat carnivore lifestyle, I'll link a video right here, which was my part one video with Dr. Bright. It will teach you everything about how to start a high-fat carnivore lifestyle and also the importance of iodine. And you can also find another video right here by Dr. Anthony Chafee talking about the 10 worst carnivore mistakes to avoid. Especially if you're new to carnivore, you might want to give it a watch. I'll see you guys next week.